Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. For our weekly art roundup, I'm joined down the line by Charlotte Burns from the art newspaper in New York. Today, Charlotte will be giving me a rundown of the exhibitions worth a visit to in New York City, including the first American solo exhibition of artist Rachel Rose at the Whitney, a show that examines the connections between Eastern Europe and Latin American art at the Museum of Modern Art, and finally, a multimedia take on Berlin during the Weimar period at the Neue Gallery. That's all coming up here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. And as if by magic, Charlotte Burns and the dulcet tones of Charlotte Burns whiz themselves across the Atlantic. Charlotte, welcome to the programme. We hope this finds you very well.
Thanks very much for having me, Rob. It's very nice to be here, as always.
That was a bit like a Eurovision introduction to the show, wasn't it?
We were sort of
marvelling at the fact that actually people can speak on a telephone line in different parts of the world. We'll move swiftly on before we belie my age. We're going to start with Rachel Rose, an exciting kind of youngish artist, I guess. This is her first solo show in the United States. It's a gravity-inspired space odyssey, so say you, Charlotte Burns. Talk us through this one.
So this is part of a new program at the Whitney, which is in its new expanded downtown home. And it's the beginning of a program dedicated to emerging artists who have always been quite central to the Whitney, but sort of overlooked in more recent decades in the smaller Breuer building uptown. So now they have the space to sort of play around a little bit, and they've invited some artists, including the 28-year-old Rachel Rose, to come into the building and make a work. Rachel is having a hot moment right now. It's her first US museum exhibition. She has concurrently her first UK museum exhibition at the Serpentine in London. She won the art award at Frieze Art Fair last October, this month in London.
That is a very hot moment indeed. That is more than a hot flush. That's a proper kind of thing. None of these inconsiderable institutions and art brand names to be associated with. What's she done with this show? This kind of, as we say, or as you have written about actually, Charlotte, this kind of space-tastic thing that she's put on at the Whitney.
Well, she said that she went to watch the films Gravity and Interstellar, and regardless of whether she liked them or not, she liked the feeling that she had when she left the theatre of being detached from her own body, and this sense of being very aware of her own limits as a human and her sort of corporeal state in this physical world. Rachel Rose is often very concerned with the limits of humans and their inability to understand things beyond them. So she started trying to figure out a way to recreate that feeling or look at that question in a kind of domestic way, and was listening to an NPR recording of the NASA astronaut David Wolf, who'd been on the Mir space station in the 1990s. And he spoke about taking a walk from the space station over the world, and it was at nighttime over the Atlantic, and he couldn't see the Earth anymore. It just looked to him instead like an absence of stars. And he tells this really great story that's worth listening to, where he just sort of describes every 45 minutes, because you move at 5 miles per second in space at that height, you go through 16 days and 16 nights in one day. So every 45 minutes, the sun will sort of blaze up into sunrise, and then it'll go into complete blackness. And because there's no reflected light in space, it's an absolute darkness. And this really moved Rachel Rose. She tracked him down, and it's basically the inspiration for her piece, which is a video that's going to be projected on the walls of the Whitney. They've taken away the blinds in front of the windows on the fifth floor gallery, and she's trying to make a projection. The idea is to sort of merge the light from the projector with the light from the outside world, so you'll sort of feel of this world and not part of it at the same time. And she goes in and out of sort of space. She went to neutral buoyancy fields, not fields, they're these sort of labs, these pools of water, because she thought it was kind of prosaic that something as sublime as walking in space could be learned by being in water. That's how astronauts used to learn how to walk on the moon.
It's just listening to you talking about it, it's giving me a slightly transcendental out-of-this-world feeling. What a phenomenal idea. I guess, all eyes will be on the walls of the Whitney for this one. She's kind of set out her stall fairly ambitiously by saying she wants to sort of recreate the idea of a spacewalk or something. Maybe it's the kind of thing a young artist, 28 years old, it was sort of made for, is doing something quite so otherworldly and kind of almost naively charmed by space, a place that we've kind of weirdly, strangely fallen out with somehow.
Yeah, I think so. I think also with her, her subjects range from, you know, she did this great work that looked at these Siberian holidaymakers enjoying, you know, time on a beach when all of a sudden a freak hailstorm came along and they all thought they were going to die. And she looked at that. She's looked at Philip Johnson's Glasshouse. She's looked at zoo animals. So her subject matters really range and her tastes are very broad, but they kind of comes back to the same thing of a kind of alienation from oneself or from the rest of the world. And that tempers most of her work, and I'm sure that that will be the case with this work too.
It sounds fantastic stuff. We've been put in another world altogether by Charlotte Burns, talking about Rachel Rose. That's called Everything Is More at the Whitney until the 7th of February. Okay, let's move on, Charlotte. We're obviously staying in New York. This is Art in Eastern Europe and Latin America. It's called Transmissions. It's got a slightly snappier name than that. This is on at the MoMA. Tell us about this one. It sounds, from the time period and the places that it's dealing with, like it's quite a political show or dealing with some of the problems and issues that were happening in those continents during that period.
Absolutely. This is a total contrast to Rachel Rose in that it's very much of the Earth, and with the Earth specifically in Eastern Europe and Latin America between 1960 and 1980. It's a big group show, and it's mainly drawn from MoMA's collection, which is itself quite interesting. MoMA's, like most Western art museums, been focused on that sort of Paris, New York, London axis as the definition of modern art. And like most major museums, MoMA is opening up its world vision a little bit to take in other forms of modernism. And this is part of that. It's a big group show. I think there's around 300 works, and only 6 of them aren't from the collection, and half of those have been acquired or donated. And this comes from a project called CMAP, which was intended to be a kind of no-outcome project at MoMA, where the curators were encouraged to look at the material within the collection, collaborate with curators in Latin America, Asia, and Eastern Europe, and come up with sort of dream projects. And then, of course, being curators, they wanted to realize those projects. And this is the fruit of some of their labor. So it's very interesting in terms of the future direction of museums and the broadening up of their remit. And then as a show itself, it's sort of a different period of art entirely to the one we inhabit right now, which is so market-led.
So this is very conceptual and very political and exactly. The kind of stuff that's difficult to hang above your fireplace, presumably.
A lot of it's still object-based because, you know, in the 60s, it's coming from a different place. So, you know, in the 50s, well, I guess you had Abex and everything like that, but you're still very much bound to the object. So it's moving away from the object, definitely. There's a lot of performance. There's a lot of mail art that people were sending. You know, this is a time when borders were really defined who you were and what you could do with your life, where you were born and where you were, you know, essentially trapped in some places. The idea of sending art across borders is quite revolutionary. There is a spirit of revolution in the show. There's a lot of artists making work that, you know, questions different political regimes, that questions, you know, the role of women or the treatment of women, and looks at, it really is, all of these artists have this deep belief in art as a space where they can question something, and that's what's so different, I think, to the art that we're quite used to seeing now at art fairs, where it's perhaps more decorative. Art here really has an end, and it's not to be pretty and it's not to be bought. A lot of these artists had no hope of having a market. It's really a forum and a platform internationally, and that's what's so interesting about it, these cross currents for being politically engaged.
And does this show feel kind of like a time capsule? Do these works feel very much of their time? Do you feel like you're looking at them through an art historical kind of magnifying glass, or do they still seem fresh and do they still seem to have informed many of the things that now are things that have huge markets?
Some things still look very contemporary. There's a David Lamelles installation, which he'd staged, I think, at Venice, which is quite amazing. And they've restaged that, and it's all about the Vietnam War. And that was his contribution to the exhibition. It's called the Office of Information About the Vietnam War, the Visual, Text, and Audio Levels. I may not have got the title exactly right. But in any case, it's a sort of corporate workplace in a glass box that transmitted broadcasts in 3 different languages about the Vietnam War. And so it was just bad news, and that was his art installation. And that still is, you know, David Lamelles is still a big name in contemporary art. A lot of these artists are still big names. I mean, definitely worth going to see. Really interesting to sort of be submerged in that period, which feels different than our less politically engaged one.
All right, it's Transmissions, Art in Eastern Europe and Latin America, 1960 to 1980. It's on at the MoMA until the 3rd of January. Get your political hat on and head down there. We're going to end, Charlotte. It's called Berlin Metropolis, 1918 to 1933, the Weimar period. Such a wealth of stuff, such a breadth of thought, presumably. And Berlin, such an exciting city at that time. Does this show do that exciting time justice?
Well, the Neue Gallery always has gorgeous shows dedicated to German art. It's really their specialty. And I love it, but it's what I studied for my MA, so I always geek out at these big German war period shows.
I want to see that. I want to see that happen live. It's wasted
it's
on the radio. We want a full-scale geek out.
Yeah.
Get the film crew down there.
You probably don't want to start me because I don't tend to stop. some really great artists in the show. George Gross, John Hartfield, a lot of these names that we all know and love, Max Beckmann. It's a small exhibition, as they all are at the Neue Gallery, and there's not that much space there because it's a townhouse. So they move through the sort of ups and downs of Berlin quite literally as it rises after the war, you know, this sort of the Dadaists looking at the society that they're in, the Weimar Republic, which wasn't beloved by many people. You know, Germany had never had democracy and it was perceived as very weak by most of the people within it, just simply because it was forced on them and they weren't really ready to have it. So there's a Dadaist looking at the trauma of mechanical war and just generally the trauma of, I think, post-war Germany at that period. Then you get the kind of rising 20s. You see this sense in the, you know, in the work, in some of the costumes on show, of greater wealth as the 20s began to roar. And then you go into the abyss, I think, is one of the sections of the show that is titled. And it's, you know, as we move into the Nazi period, Hitler wasn't a fan of Berlin. And so he, you know, Berlin really goes into decline through this period. So it's the rise and fall of Berlin in between those wartime periods.
And how is this put together, this show? How didactic are the kind of curatorial notes that go with something like this? Does it let the sort of art speak for itself, or does it very much want to tell you a story and take you through the subtleties of the different art movements happening, the artists' lives, and what's happening politically in Germany at the time?
I mean, like any exhibition, it's someone's vision, and it's the curator telling you their story. That's, I think, fair to say of any exhibition. Dr. Olaf Peters, who organised the show, is fortunately really excellent at organising these shows. So his vision is a good one. And I think he does a nice job of being, you know, there's big wall panels that take you through certain things. There's a massive traffic light hanging from the ceiling as you walk in. Apparently Berlin was the first place in Europe to have a traffic light.
Yeah, Ampelmann is the manufacturer of them. They're those lovely traffic lights, and you still get them in certain parts of West Germany mostly, with the guy with the hat on. He's kind of a squat man, looks like he's racing across the road with a sort of a trilby on, and they were the Ampelmann traffic lights. They're very handsome in their own right.
Well,
point of no particular interest for our listeners, or indeed our contributor in New York, Charlotte Burns.
I thought it was very interesting, but that's because this is my area of geekery. So you're playing to your audience. There's a lot of work. There's around 400 work. There's five themes. It's the Republic, the Utopia, the New Woman, the Crisis of Modernity, and Into the Abyss. And it goes through them all. It's really just a taste, you know, because it's not a big space at the Neue Gallery. So even though there's a lot of work, they're well hung, and it's really just a glimpse of this period. And there's lots and lots of books out there that you can read if you want to know more.
Okay, well, that's good. That's whetted the appetite for further reading. This is only a 15-minute show, Charlotte. You've done it perfectly, as ever. That was what we were talking about. Lastly, Berlin Metropolis, 1918-33 at the Neue Gallery. Before that, Transmissions, Art in Eastern Europe and Latin America, 1960-1980. And something without a time or a date written on it at all, Rachel Rose, Everything and More. And that is on at the Whitney. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Charlotte Burns in New York, thank you very much indeed, as ever, for joining us. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Band. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our music review with good old Baylen Leonard. But for the time being, thanks for tuning in.